In our service this morning, we're going to pick up where we left off last night. We're going to go into more detail about what we covered last night. And then we're going to go forward. But let's open with this verse that my wife read to you just a few moments ago. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2.
Zaburi 117, mstari wa kwanza na wa pili.
O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Enyi mataifa yote, msifuni Bwana, enyi watu wote, mhimidini. Maana fadhili zake kwetu sisi ni kuu, na uaminifu wa Bwana ni wa milele.
The traditions of man will not continue forever.
Desturi za wanadamu hazitadumu milele.
God's word and His truth is the only thing that will endure forever.
Neno la Bwana na ukweli wake ndio wa kudumu milele.
The most important thing for us is to be sure we are established on truth and not traditions.
Cha msingi, Bwana Yesu asifiwe sana, ni kuimarika katika ukweli wa neno la Bwana.
This is one of the reasons why we are emphasizing the word so much.
Ndiposa tunatia mkazo katika neno hili la kweli, neno linaloitwa ukweli. Tunalitilia mkazo sana kwa sababu ndio neno la kudumu.
We have learned this week that there are two things very critical in our lives.
Ya kwamba kuna mambo mawili ambayo ni ajabu sana maishani pa mtu.
Number one is the Word of God.
Jambo la kwanza ni neno la Mungu.
Number two is the Holy Spirit.
Jambo la pili ni Roho Mtakatifu.
We are already born again.
Ndio tushaokoka.
And now we must be established upon the Word.
Na sasa vile tumeokoka lazima tuimarishwe.
And that is fully accomplished through the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Na kuimarika na kuimarishwa ni huduma ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and guide us into all truth.
Yesu akasema kwamba Roho Mtakatifu atatufundisha vyote na kutuelekeza katika kweli.
This means that the Holy Spirit is the only source for all truth.
Ina maana kwamba Roho Mtakatifu ndiye chanzo pekee yake cha ukweli mtupu.
I am supposed to receive teaching from the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Ninapaswa kupokea mafundisho kutoka katika huduma ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Sometimes that teaching comes from people behind the pulpit.
Wakati mwingine mafundisho hayo yanaibuka kutoka kwa watu ambao wako nje ya jukwaa.
And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with my spirit.
Na Roho Mtakatifu atakuwa shahidi pamoja na roho yangu.
That what I'm hearing is true.
Ya kwamba ninalosikiliza ni kweli au si kweli.
But the most teaching comes when I am spending time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Lakini mafundisho mengi huja wakati nipo katika ushirika na Roho Mtakatifu.
This is the way He is able to continually reveal unto me the understanding of God's Word.
Kwa jinsi hii ndivyo ninapata uwezo wa kuelezwa na kudhihirishiwa ukweli wa neno la Mungu na ufunuo wa neno la Mungu.
Man can only teach you the truth he knows.
Wanadamu wanaweza wakakufundisha ukweli wa juwalo.
But the Holy Spirit knows all truth.
Lakini Roho Mtakatifu anajua ukweli wote.
And He has been sent to teach us all things and guide us into all truth.
Na Roho Mtakatifu ametumwa kutufundisha vyote na kutuelekeza katika ukweli wote.
Jesus said, If you want to be my disciples, you must continue in my word.
Yesu kasema kwamba mkitaka kuwa wafuasi wangu, lazima muendelee katika ukweli wote.
This word continue means ongoing in your life.
Sikiliza. Neno kuendelea ina maana kwamba haikomi, ni kuendelea maishani mwako pote.
This means I can hear the word of salvation and get born again.
Ina maana kwamba naweza nikasikiliza neno la wokovu, nikamkubali Yesu na kuokoka.
But being born again does not mean I am his disciple.
Sikia hapo umesikia vizuri. Kuokoka haimaanishi kwamba umeshakuwa mfuasi.
The word disciple means disciplined follower.
Amen. Ingekuwa kwa Kiswahili ingekuwa nzuri sana. Mfuasi ina maana kwamba mwanafunzi mwenye nidhamu. Tuko pamoja?
I can be born again, but not a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ.
Naweza nikawa nimeokoka, lakini nimeokoka ila sina nidhamu.
I can love Jesus with all my heart, but still not be a disciplined follower of Jesus.
Naweza nikampenda Yesu kwa moyo wangu, lakini kwa kumpenda Yesu sina nidhamu.
And Jesus said it like, let me present it this way.
Yesu akainirisha kwa jinsi hii, kwa mfano tazama.
It's like Jesus was saying, you can be born again, but unless you continue in my word, you're not my disciple.
Ni kama Yesu alieleza kwa jinsi hii, unaweza ukaokoka ndio, lakini pamoja na kuokoka, usipodumu katika neno langu, wewe sio mfuasi wangu.
And God knew that we could not simply depend on each other for a revelation of truth.
Na ni kweli hiyo. Mungu alijua kwamba hatuwezi, baada ya kuokoka, hatuwezi tukategemeana. Unategemea mimi kudumu katika wokovu wako.
So he sent the Holy Spirit to be the teacher of teachers.
Kwa sababu hiyo, akamtuma Roho Mtakatifu awe mwalimu kutufundisha na kutuelimisha.
The Apostle Paul wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else.
Mtume Paulo ndiye akaandika Agano Jipya zaidi ya mitume wote.
We have the ability to understand everything that the Apostle Paul wrote.
Na sasa tuna uwezo wa kuelewa kila kitu ambacho Mtume Paulo aliandika.
We know this because Timothy came to the place in his life that he understood everything the Apostle Paul taught.
Tunajua hili au tunafika kuelewa hili kwa sababu Timotheo alifika katika ngazi ya kuelewa kila kitu ambacho Paulo alimfundisha.
And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told Timothy to teach other people these same things. And those people were supposed to hear and receive what was being taught. What was being taught is what has been recorded in Scripture. Paul did not teach anything that has not been recorded in the Bible. The true doctrine of the apostles is recorded in Scripture. If the apostles were alive today, they would preach nothing other than what is in Scripture. So if someone is preaching and teaching something that the apostles did not preach and teach, then they are preaching error. And that error is leading people away from truth. Paul warned about this in his letters. He wrote to Timothy and told him this, that the Holy Spirit has revealed The day is coming when preachers and teachers who once held on to truth are going to allow themselves to be misled by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What it means is these preachers will have begun letting go of the things they were taught. They will be taking the word of God and mixing it with the traditions of men. They will not be denying the existence of Jesus. They will not be denying the existence of God. They will not even deny that the Bible is the Word of God. But they will mix in all of these other teachings. They'll tell you things like, there are other paths to God as well as Jesus. They will say that God is God no matter what name you call Him. We have preachers in the United States who are preaching this way today. The prophecies of the Holy Spirit are coming to pass before our eyes. This means we are in the latter days. This means the time is short. And we have to press in to become disciplined followers of Jesus. We have to be willing for all wrong belief to be cut away from our lives. We have to be willing to endure the criticism of other Christians. We have to become pure and spotless in our spirits. These false preachers, they truly believe they're teaching us truth. That's because their conscience has been seared by the lies. Look in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to continue picking up where we left off last night with this story and another passage in Isaiah. In 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets.
Akamwambia mtumishi wake tereka sufuria kubwa wapikie wana wa nabii.
It's almost as though Elisha had called for a ministry conference.
Hawa ni watu wapendwa ambao Elisha aliwaita katika washa, jinsi tumeitwa hapa kwenye washa yenu.
In in verse 39, here's what the servant did. He went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shed them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not.
Sasa tisa nasema, na mmoja wao akaenda nje kondeni, ili kuchuma mboga, akaona mtango mwitu, akachuma na mtango mwitu, hata nguo yake ikawa imejaa, akaja akayapasua pasua sufuriani, kwa maana akaivisha.
So this person that Elisha had called to be his servant.
Unaona, huyu kijana ambaye Elisha alimuita kuwa mfanyakazi wake,
was instructed to prepare a meal for the prophets of God.
Huyu mtumishi au kijana alipewa, alishauriwa au alielekezwa kwamba aende afanye maandalizi, andae chakula kwa ajili ya watumishi ambao ni manabii hao.
And these sons of the prophets were expecting a nourishing meal to be served to them.
Na watoto wa manabii walikuwa wanatarajia chakula nzuri wale.
But this servant went to a wild vine and gathered the fruit from that vine.
Lakini yule mfanyakazi aliyetumwa kwenda kuchuma mboga, akachuma tango mwitu, akaleta nyumbani.
And he prepared the meal for those men.
Akaandaa chakula ambacho ilikuwa ni tango mwitu.
And we see what happened in verse 40.
Hebu tuone matokeo ya tango mwitu kwenye mstari wa 40.
So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof.
Katika kula chakula wakapiga kelele wakasema, mauti imo sufuriani, ee mtu wa Mungu, wala hawakuweza kula tena.
So when the soup was served to the men,
walipopakuliwa chakula,
they looked at it and it looked very appealing.
Chakula chenyewe kilipendeza, kilikuwa na harufu nzuri.
It did not look disgusting.
Chakula haikuwa chakula ya kutisha, ilikuwa chakula ya kuvutia.
And when they smelled it, it smelled appetizing.
Harufu yake ilikuwa inavutia vizuri sana.
It did not smell like death.
Haikuwa na harufu ya sumu au sio nzuri.
And when they began to taste it, it didn't taste bad.
Lakini walipoanza kula mpendwa, basi hapo ndipo mambo yakawa tofauti.
But after they swallowed it, it began to work poison in them. And they realized that their stomachs were getting upset and they were feeling sick. They knew that their digestive system was being corrupted. And that this poison was going to be spread throughout their entire system. And they would possibly die if they kept eating. So they let them, the prophet of God know there is death in this meal. This is a message for the body of Christ. There are men who are called to be the servants of God. Some are called apostles, some prophets, some pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And the Holy Spirit instructs them to set the table of the Lord and feed the children of God. But when these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers go out to prepare the food,
wachungaji ambao sio wa kweli wameandaa chakula kwa watoto wa Mungu,
Too many of them are going to a wild vine to get the fruit. But Jesus said, I am the vine. He said, you are the branches. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And so there are preachers who are going to a wild vine instead of the vine of Jesus Christ. And they're ministering from poison fruit instead of the fruit that comes from Jesus. And when they set the table of the Lord with this poisonous meal, the people in the church hear this teaching. And because it is mixed with scripture and the name of Jesus, they think it's okay. And as they begin to take it into their spiritual digestive system, the poison of the lies begins to corrupt them. And they begin to believe things that are a lie. And they hear somebody tell them, if you sin, you don't have to repent. And so they believe that they can do things in the world and not have to repent for it. But in one place in Revelation, I believe it's Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said if we don't repent, our names could be blotted out of the book of life. And so preachers are mingling truth with traditions. But I want you to see what happened in this story. The sons of the prophets ate the porridge. And they realized that it was poisonous. And they cried out to Elisha and said, this is poison meal. It's a poison food that is killing us. But look what Elisha said to do. In verse 41, but he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot.
Lakini yeye akasema, leteni unga, naye akautupa ndani ya sufuria, akasema wapakulie watu, ili wale wala hakuna yoyote aliyelalamika kwa sababu ya sumu tena.
He said, you take this meal and you put it into the pot. Then what is served from the pot will not be poisonous. What is meal? Meal is that powder, that ground up grain that you use to make bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus also is revealed as being the Word of God. When we take the Word of God and we put that into the pot, then what is served out of the pot will not be poisonous. It will be the nourishing truth of God's word. It will not kill us. It will only build us up. It will produce spiritual nourishment. And we will grow thereby. And this is what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20. As he was teaching in that ministry conference at Ephesus, he had warned the people about the deceiving teachers. And in Acts 20 verse 32, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Unless we are setting the table of the Lord with a dinner that has been made from the bread of life, we are serving up poison to the children of God. And we are leading them away from the truth. Now let's take a look at Isaiah 28. And we'll review what we covered last night. And then see more in this passage. In Isaiah chapter 28, this is a prophecy. It is very prophetic for the church today. In verse 1, it says, "Woe to the crown of pride and to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine."
La uzuri wa fahari yake linalonyauka lililo kichwani mwa bonde linalostawi na hao walioshindwa na divai.
Very briefly, the drunkards of Ephraim is a prophecy about preachers today.
Sikiliza hapa kifupi, walevi wa Ephraimu ni
they are wearing a crown of pride because they have exalted themselves before the people. Their glorious beauty is fading because it is a beauty they have created by their own works. He says they are overcome with wine and drunk. Because they have become intoxicated by the lies they have been preaching. And this continues in verse 7. "But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment."
Wamepotea kwa kileo. Kuhani na manabii wamekosa kwa kileo. Wamelezwa kwa divai. Wamepotea kwa kileo. Kukosa katika maono. Katika hukumu wamehukumiwa.
The wine and the strong drink of their deceptive doctrines has corrupted their belief system.
Kileo na kuamini katika uongo zinaenda sambamba katika kanuni moja.
They err in judgment, err in vision, and stumble in judgment because their spiritual comprehension has become clouded.
Ulipopotofu katika uamuzi wao na uelekezo wao, hawana mwelekezo wa asili ya kusudi la Bwana.
They say that they are delivering truth to the people.
Wanasema kwamba wanawaambia watu ukweli.
But their lies have caused them to be unable to discern truth from a lie.
Lakini uongo wao umewafanya washindwe kutofautisha ukweli na uongo.
And because they think it's okay and truth, they then preach it to people.
Ni kwa sababu tu wanafikiri na kuanzia kwamba ni kweli, wao wanaenda kuhubiri hilo wamefikiria ni kweli kwa watu.
But look how God describes what they're serving to the people.
Hebu sikia vile Mungu anavyoeleza kile ambacho wanawanisha watu.
In verse 8, God says,
mstari wa 8, Mungu anasema,
for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean.
Maana meza zote zimejaa matapiko na uchafu, hapana mahali palipo safi.
We know what vomit is.
Yes, tunajua nini tapiko ni nini.
This filthiness is speaking of dung.
Uchafu au harufu mbaya ambayo tunasema hapa ni kama kinyesi.
This is extremely graphic and very, very disgusting.
Nakwambia hii inastajabisha na ni kitu ambacho hakifai.
But God is saying, here's what these preachers are doing. They are preparing the table of the Lord. And they're telling them, this is a feast fit for kings. It is the deepest truth that God could give you. It is incredible revelation given to me by God. And they'll add a few verses of scripture to make it sound good. But adding a few verses of scripture is like this. It's like adding sugar and spices to cover the flavor of the filth. And God is saying, this is what it looks like as I sit here on my throne and look down. These preachers have gone to my table and vomited up all of this disgusting refuse. They've gone to the restrooms and dug the dung out of the toilets and put it on the table. And I sit on my throne as I watch my children eat this disgusting meal. And God says in His word that those preachers are going to stand accountable before Him in judgment. There are preachers today with churches running thousands. And week after week the tables are full of filth and vomit. And the people are eating this. Jesus and they think they've received a meal from God. But they are dying a slow death in their spirit. And the heart of God is breaking. And He is raising up voices in this world today who don't care about the criticism, who don't care about the rebuke. They're going to stand on truth and deliver this truth. And if Christians don't like it, too bad. Because when they stand before God, they're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have served me well with my word." Now let's continue here in Isaiah. The tables are set with dung and with vomit. And God is saying, "How can this be fixed? What can possibly be done to turn this around?" God says, "My children are showing up in churches." And so many of these tables are set with the vomit and the dung. With that being the case, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God is saying, "This is the way my doctrine is to be taught." You cannot pick and choose what verses you like and then preach them. You cannot take verses out of context to create your own doctrine. The only way my truth can be delivered is this. It has to be left in context. It has to be line upon line and precept upon precept. This is the only way that we can get people away from the tables of dung and vomit. And God is saying, if the preachers are the ones who are setting the tables with dung and vomit, that means they're the ones who are not teaching line upon line. For my children to help them get past all of this dung and vomit. God says, "How can I bypass all the preachers and go directly to the hearts of my children?" Here's how he does it. In verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people."
La, bali kwa midomo ya watu wageni na kwa lugha nyingine.
God is saying you might be in a church that is preaching filth, vomit, and dung. But if you will yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to be your teacher, and you will begin to pray in tongues, then I, Almighty God, will be able to step in between you and all these false preachers. And I will begin speaking directly to your heart. And I will give you the line upon line, precept upon precept, truth of my word. And the day will come when you will no longer feed from the dung and the vomit. My Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And you will know the truth. And that truth will set you free from this filth. And you will walk in freedom the rest of your life. This is why it's so important for us to pray in tongues. Deception, you don't know you're deceived. Praying in tongues releases the glory of the truth of God. And it illuminates the lies from the truth. And then we can say, I will no longer eat a meal that's not been set by the Spirit of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
But now I want you to read what God said about this. Read again verse
11.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
Watu wageni hapo ushikilie na uweke alama na kwa lugha nyingine atasema na watu hawa ambao waliwaambia hii ndio raha yenu mpeni raha yeye aliyechoka huku ndiko kuburudika lakini hawakukutana na wala hawakuburudika pale.
God is saying I have told you.
Bwana sema nimekwambia.
That if you will pray in the stammering lips of tongues,
utaomba katika lugha ambayo si ya kawaida unayozoea,
I will be able to teach you line upon line and precept upon precept.
Nitakupa uwezo wa kuomba katika mstari kwa mstari, katika kusudi na penzi la Mungu.
I will speak directly to your heart. And this will be a refreshing to your spirit. And he's saying, in spite of this revelation, there are Christians who will not hear it. They are going to reject this truth. It's as though they're going to say this. I don't need to pray in tongues. I will depend on my pastor. I will depend on the preachers on television. I will depend on all the books in the Christian bookstores. I'm a smart person. I will read my Bible. And I will understand it myself. And God is saying, no, you can't. Because the born again life is a whole new life. And you need my Holy Spirit to help you. But there are Christians who are going to say, I don't need tongues. I don't need to pray in tongues. Yes, I see these things in the Bible. But I'm smarter than God. And no matter what it says in Scripture, I figure it out my way. And now we've opened ourselves up to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now let's begin to see this at work. Remember what we just read here in Isaiah. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to start with one verse. In verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes this: in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord.
Nitasema na watu hawa kwa watu wa lugha nyingine na kwa midomo ya wageni, wala hata hivyo hawatanisikia, asema Bwana.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 14,
Wakorintho wa kwanza 14 sura,
the Apostle Paul is teaching about the operation of tongues.
Mtume Paulo anafundisha kuhusu huduma ya Roho Mtakatifu.
And in verse 21, he references what we read in Isaiah
28.
This is proof that what we read in Isaiah 28 is a prophecy for the church. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You cannot be a steward of a mystery if you do not understand that mystery. These things that seem like mysteries to Christians are things God wants us to know. And we have the ability to understand these things. If we ever read a passage of Scripture, And we say, I don't understand this. It's a mystery to me. God tells us that we have the ability to understand that mystery. God said in Isaiah that through stammering lips, He would be able to teach us. Let's see how this process worked in the life of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 1, Paul said this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. In other words, he's saying, I didn't come to you trying to impress you with man's teaching. And this is confirmed in the first part of verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. And now he begins explaining to us how he is able to teach these things. Beginning in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Walakini, iko hekima tusemayo kati ya wakamilifu. Ila si hekima ya dunia hii, wala ya hao wanaoitawala dunia hii, wanaobadilika, bali twainena hekima ya Mungu katika siri, ile hekima iliyofichwa ambayo Mungu aliazimu tangu milele kwa utukufu wa wote.
He says, this wisdom is not the wisdom of man, it is the wisdom of God. But it's the wisdom of God that comes forth from a mystery. This wisdom, or these mysteries, had been hidden from before the foundation of the world. But God said the day is coming when this wisdom and these mysteries will be revealed unto people. And the people to whom they are going to be revealed are the members of the body of Christ. Because as Christians, we have a spirit that is compatible with God. And we're going to see that in this passage. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Bali twanena hekima ya Mungu katika siri, ile hekima iliyofichuliwa, ambayo Mungu aliazimu tangu milele, kwa utukufu wote.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit that he's speaking of here in verse 10 is not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not searching for the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit already knows the deep things of God. This is our born-again spirit where God is teaching us. Because my born-again spirit is hungry for the deep things of God. But I must be taught these deep things of God or I won't know them. And he continues in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the born-again spirit we received came from God. It is not the same lost natured spirit that lost people in the world have. The born-again spirit that we have received from God can learn these things. We have the ability to learn and understand all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of the Word of God. The mysteries of our salvation. The mysteries of our inheritance in Christ. The mysteries of my ministry calling. The mysteries of how to fulfill my ministry calling. The mysteries of how to trust God for all my provision. All of these things related to who I am in Christ. And he continues here in verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, he's saying it this way. We are teaching you these mysteries of God. But we did not learn them from men. We didn't have to go to a Bible college or a seminary. We did not depend upon the words of man. Words based upon man's language. But we learned these things through the words of the Holy Spirit. In the language that He was teaching us as we were praying in tongues. And as we were praying in tongues, speaking in the words that the Holy Ghost has taught, the Holy Spirit is then teaching our spirit. And we are coming to the understanding and the revelation of the mysteries of God. And the Holy Spirit is comparing the deep spiritual things of God with my born-again spirit, so that I can know the things that God has freely given to me. And he continues in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Wala hawezi kuyafahamu kwa kuwa yatambalika kwa jinsi ya rohoni.
The people in the world who are lost, they cannot understand these things. It is foolishness to them. But there are too many Christians who are using their natural mind. And as they use their natural mind, they're trying to understand the deep things of God. The natural mind cannot understand why we need to pray in tongues. I have to begin thinking with the mind of Christ. And this is what we see in verses 15 and 16. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When I accepted Jesus Christ and became born again, I received the mind of Christ. What this literally means is this. As a Christian, I now have the ability to think and understand things the way Jesus thinks and understand things. The mind of Christ does not reside in my natural mind. It resides in my born-again spirit. This is why when I am praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to teach me. And I am able to receive it and learn it. Because when I pray in tongues, I am operating by the mind of Christ, not my natural mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 14, in verse 18, Paul said this, I thank my God God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. That's because Paul had come to the place of understanding. The more that I pray in tongues is the more the Holy Spirit can teach these things to me. And it's the more I become established on truth. And the more that I am established on truth is the more that I am avoiding all of the wrong doctrines. And I will be able to identify wrong doctrine when it is preached. This means I come to the place in my life where I am no longer feasting on dung and vomit. But I am growing and building myself up in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are going to learn more about this as we continue in this conference. But for right now, I'm supposed to stop, so everybody go ahead and stand. You might ask, how do you know you're supposed to stop? Because the more you pray in tongues, you know what God is doing. And if God impresses upon me, Jim, that's enough for now. Then that's enough for now. So the next time that we are together, we'll review some of this. And we will go on to the next line and the next precept. Hallelujah. Now you have heard me speak much this morning about praying in tongues. And there was a time in my life when I was born again, but I had not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I had not received that miracle gift of praying in tongues. Well, the day came when that changed. And praise God, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and received that gift of tongues. I cannot use tongues for interpretation anytime I want. But when it comes to praying in tongues, and having that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I have the liberty to do that anytime. And if you're here today and you are born again, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and received that miracle gift of praying in tongues, but you want to receive that gift today, if you will come up here, I'll pray for you.